ahead and start our special meeting. This is a joint meeting between the Meridian City Council and the Meridian Development Corporation. Thank you all for joining us. For the record, it is Tuesday, August 21st. It's 4 o'clock. We'll start with roll call attendance.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. For the Meridian City Council, Councilmember Miley?
Here.
Councilmember Burton?
Here.
Councilmember Palmer?
Here.
Councilmember Little Roberts?
Here.
Councilmember Cavanagh?
Here.
Councilmember Wharton?
Here.
Mayor DeBeer?
Here. And then roll call for MDC.
Okay. Meridian Development Corporation Board, Commissioner Vasalone?
Here.
Commissioner Mueller?
Here.
Commissioner Byrd?
Here.
Commissioner DeWeer?
Here.
Commissioner Winder?
Here.
Commissioner McCarville?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Bevan?
Here.
Commissioner Vlasic?
Here.
Okay, thank you. Item number two is adoption of the agenda.
Madam Mayor?
Mr. Gordon?
We adopt the agenda as published. Second.
A motion and a second to adopt the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All ayes. Item three is the presentation, discussion, and recommendation of the RFP, from the RFP committee.
Madam Mayor?
Mr. Gordon?
I can just interrupt real quick. It's not very frequently that we get together, so it's wonderful to have the council and MDC together. There are a lot of individuals interested in the success of downtown. Should not go unnoticed and appreciated. So I wanted to, in particular, thank MDC for all of their work, volunteering time and hours trying to help our downtown be successful. And in particular, this committee, as we all pointed and empowered for a whole bunch of functions, all in their own time, sharing a common good, hoping that our downtown can benefit from this project. So I wanted to take that opportunity to thank Brad, the entire committee, for your time and effort. I'm not participating right now, I'm quiet in this, so Mr. Lake is my law partner, so if there's any indirect conflict, I've stayed out and I'll continue to stay out. I wanted to butt in early and at least take the time to be able to thank each and every one of you for the time to get us here today, and in particular the committee for their efforts. It's moving mountains to get us here, but it's greatly appreciated. Thank you.
I thought first I would start from
Madam Mayor. Yes. If I could, please, we've got an issue regarding potential conflict of interest with one of our board members, and maybe let Council Lady describe what's the situation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I had an opportunity to visit with Commissioner Ritter. As I think all of you know, Commissioner Ritter has his company has the lease with the city for the New Ventures Lab, which is the subject property that we're talking about. And I was concerned about a potential conflict under our statutes, which is 50-2017. Not so much the Standard Ethics in Government Act, which is Title 74. And had a really good visit with Commissioner Ritter. I know that my opinion in this case has absolutely no reflection that there's any ill will on behalf of Commissioner Ritter or ill intent. I know he serves on this board because he wants to do what's best for downtown, and that's included in this situation. What I ultimately came back to is I don't think the statute provides a lot of flexibility. And Commissioner Ritter, I'll let him address that, but he's had an opportunity to discuss with his council, and they have a different opinion, but I'll let him discuss that once I kind of lay things out. The statute says that if any member of the Urban Renewal Board presently owns or controls any interest, either direct or indirect, in any property which is planned to be included in an urban renewal project, they have to immediately disclose that in writing. Has to be put into the record, and it says they shall not participate in any of the action related to that. And then the last sentence says it's a violation. Any violation of this section constitutes misconduct in office. So it's a pretty strong statute that ties back to the city and whether you can continue to serve. So my concern was both for Commissioner Ritter and for this body and the decision making. As I said, I think the statute is clear. A lease constitutes an interest in real property. Under the lease, there's control over the property, who participates in New Ventures Lab. It doesn't say how much control, it just says control. And it also doesn't give us the opportunity to evaluate intent or all of those things. I think it's there to promote transparency and just protect the process. Because it does also apply to the city regarding misconduct in office, I had an opportunity to discuss it with Bill Neri and get his perspective. We both essentially slept on it and came back to the same conclusion in the morning. And that was that if Commissioner Ritter participates, it would be a violation of that statute.
And before I ask Mr. Ritter if he has any comments, Mr. Neri, do you have anything to add?
I would only echo what Mr. Lakey has said in reviewing the statute. Again, I think that the key here is it doesn't give an out. In other areas of the Idaho Code, you can sometimes cleanse what may be perceived as a conflict by revealing it. The board can then decide if it's minimus or minimal type of interest. That isn't present in this statute. So once property is identified to be part of an urban renewal project, that's, I think, is the key factor in this statute. Because then you're only looking at, is it a commissioner? Do they have an interest, a personal interest in the property? And again, it's predates when a project would ever occur. So again, it doesn't presume you would agree with it or disapprove of the project. This is once the property has been identified. Really was intended on the front end of the discussion as we're doing now, and not something you would look at later and say how much involvement does the individual have or what level of interest do they have. It doesn't give any of that. It's very specific. It also in Title 74, as you mentioned, that's the Ethics in Government Act, which also gives the appointing authority the ability to request a legal opinion on that, which is kind of what we're doing now, and whether you then choose to follow that advice. Case law to guide us on that. And I don't know Mr. Lake's opinion, but I think the board can act and determine whether or not Mr. Ritter can participate. And I think the city council also has the ability to just weigh in on that either at this juncture or later. As I said, misconduct in office is what the key phrase is for a violation, which is cause for removal from the board. So, very much. That's pretty clear. Pretty clear to me, though, that the language in the statute is really meant to, that, as Mr. Lakey said, be transparent up front, that when property is identified to be used, people who have interest in it that are part of the board need to identify it and then recuse themselves from this.
Mr. Ritter?
Question revolves around control. And the conclusion that we came to is because of the way the lease is written, it is a 90-day renewal with a 30-day notice. It also excludes a portion of the building for city use, a portion of the building for MDC use. That control would be is a question, and their sense was that I had little, if any, control other than the specific purpose granted by the lease. And that is to conduct business for the things that we agreed on in the lease, which was to run the hybrid co-working space. So my position, based on that conversation, I don't think we talked about the interest. I suppose I could agree that I have interest in the building because my business is there, but in terms of control, the ultimate control is the city's.
Madam Mayor and Council Member Winder, I guess I would also add, it's my understanding that Council Member Ritter would also defer and accept the position of our board if the board felt like there was problem with this statute that Commissioner Ritter would recuse himself. So I guess I would let the board express their opinion if that was the case.
Madam Mayor, I think in my opinion, the biggest issue is if we make a decision today on something and Commissioner Ritter participates, does that put that decision in jeopardy down the road at all?
Mr. Chairman, it could. If there's a board member that should not have participated because of that statute and violated that statute, that could be a result of or an ultimate determination of litigation and so on, then yes, that could cloud the decision. It could depend on how it turns out and whatnot, but I think probably the best solution, even I think the best solution is probably for the board to weigh in. They would have that determination, I suppose, either way. But in this case, again, I said no ill intent, nothing personal at all about Commissioner Ritter and his motives and desires to serve on the board. It's just a question of whether the statute is an issue.
Mr. Ritter, I'll turn this over to you to lead the discussion of your
board. All right.
I would like to see Rick, but I tell you, this board has always taken the statutes. I think the statute is very, very clear. So I'd have to say that we stay by the state statute for the rules.
Mr. Chair, I would echo what Commissioner Burgess said. In all my 7 years on this board, I have always valued legal counsel input from Counsel Rakey. He has always been right on target in terms of having us do what is best in terms of transparency for this community. And I think there have been time to time when all of us at one time or another have had to recuse ourselves from the vote because of a real or perceived conflict of interest. And we gladly did that. And I would at this point ask that of Commissioner Ritter, because to put this crucial decision in any kind of an appeal jeopardy, I think, would be detrimental to this community.
Any other comments from board members? So I guess the question would be, do we need a motion from
Mr. Chairman, I guess Commissioner Ritter's request was if it was the board's desire that he recuse himself, that he would. So unless we hear from each board member, perhaps a motion that Commissioner Ritter recuse himself and a vote would be appropriate.
Madam Mayor.
Mr.
Palmer. Mr.
Mayor,
I mentioned the council. City council might be able to weigh in on it as well.
Madam Mayor, Councilor Palmer, what the statute said is that they're appointed official can seek the opinion of the appointed voter's attorney and act upon that. That implies to me that the board, that the council has the ability to weigh in on that. I don't know whether the council has the ability to do this. It's not clear that the council has the ability to disqualify the person from that, but they certainly can render that opinion whether they should participate. And I would also add, based on the comments you made, the word control is not in the statute. It just says interest. So it's something about controlling.
If there was, if to this point we'd seen that Mr. Ritter was, trying to stop the progression of a change of use of this property, then certainly this might be, a question worthy of our time. However, if there's anybody in this room who doubts the intent of Mr. Ritter's purposes on the then yeah, maybe he should recuse himself. But I would doubt there would be a single person in this room that has any question about whether he wants to stop the project so he can keep his business there, or he wants something else there, which is effectively going to make him go away.
Okay, my vote is to turn this back over to Mr.
So, first of all, I mean, this is really similar to, like, how this town works. So, first of all, I think it would be a really dumb thing to, like, open up the city and this whole entire process to future lawsuits because we don't actually do it in a by-fire code. So we have a whole entire board of people here. We have more than one person for a good reason. I would second what everyone else said. And the random couple people that we haven't heard from yet, I think we should just hear your guys' opinion because we need to make this thing wrong.
I would also agree. We've gotten so close to this decision, and I guess my question is, Commissioner River, are you willing to accuse yourself from this vote right now so that we can move on?
I'm willing to abstain, you know, as I said, abstain, not recuse, and not participate in today's discussion. But ultimately, I would like to have it decided because we've still got a long road ahead of us. So by recusing myself, I'm assuming that means that I would be excluded from everything forward in terms of the negotiation of an agreement, if there's an agreement to be in place. And I'm unwilling to do it if that's the case, Council Lady.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps we can just cross a bridge at a time. I think Commissioner Ritter's recusal on this meeting, I'm okay that it just covers this meeting at this point, and we can address things in the future. For me, that's a discussion to have for the future. If the situation changes or the lease is being terminated, then that interest is not there, and we obviously have more to do after that happens. But I'm perfectly fine just focusing the decision on the proceedings today, and we can address the rest later.
So would you be willing to do that?
Yes, I said I would.
Okay.
Mr. Neri, maybe you can kick this off and talk about the purpose of this meeting and kind of direct what today is
really
about.
So thank you, Madam Reverend. So, and this is probably as much for the public record as not necessarily all of you, but this RFP process was an open competitive process that both this council and the board had collaborated on. We've created the scope of work, created some rubric of questions that were wanting to be answered, wanting the proposers to submit. And today, and then it was turned over to a committee that was made up of both members of the board, as well as members of the council and members of the public. Brad Hoagland is here on behalf of the committee to present the recommendation. What we're seeking today is really direction from both boards. Clearly the MDC would be taking a lead role if this project were to move forward in any form, that the MDC would be the lead role in making that happen, managing the project, bringing that to fruition. City Council's request today is, do we want us to continue to move forward with this project as the old City Hall property being a part of that, and affecting that exchange of property with MDC and then carrying out the rest of the contract. The decision today doesn't have to be final. There certainly can be more information sought if that's the desire of either the council or the board. But we are really looking for direction on where both entities would like us to move forward, because there are contracts that need to be done, agreements that need to be have negotiated and brought forward. But that's really the direction we're looking for both entities today is, do you like the project? Forward with making this happen and moving forward with the necessary agreements to effectuate that, or do you need more information, or do you need something else? And that's just some questions on that, what we're desiring, the direction we're looking for today. Mr. Leakey wants to add, I think one thing Mr. Leakey mentioned to me to not forget is that there is a time limit to what these proposals are still valid. It's a 60-day time limit for when they were submitted, which the submission date was July 25th, so the proposal, a decision on the proposal needs to be made by September 25th for them to still be effective. If there are questions about that, obviously you can ask the committee or the applicant. And with that, I think, is that the committee?
just a couple of additional comments. Appreciate Mr. Neri's evaluation, essentially. We're looking forward today, if you want to proceed, is a motion to proceed and negotiate further agreements. We'd have to bring all those back to both boards. So we don't really need to get into the weeds on the details of those agreements, but if the boards decide to move forward, it would be you could hit some high points and some concepts for us to include in those discussions. I do want to also emphasize a couple of other things. I mentioned it before, but we all know this is a cooperative process. We can't move forward if the city doesn't want to move forward or if MDC doesn't want to move forward. City controls the property, MDC controls the project moving forward from that point. I'll let Mr. Hoagland talk about the substance of the committee process, but I did want to address one aspect of the procedure. Regarding the score sheets that were included, the score sheets as set forth in the RFP are only a tool to help evaluate the merits of both proposals. It specifically states that this isn't the highest score wins kind of approach. As I said, it's a tool. The committee used those score sheets and the due diligence that they performed initially going into those interviews and the final discussion. So the score sheets that you have were those score sheets that were used going into those interviews and the final discussion. After the presentations and the interviews, which were probably a couple hours for each proposer, after the final discussion of the committee, they felt like their recommendation was clear and that there wasn't a need to rescore the sheets. So I just wanted to explain what those sheets were, how they were used by the committee going into this process, and then I'll let Mr. Hoagland present the recommendation of the committee.
Thank you. Any questions at this time? Mr. Hoagland. Please state your name and address for the record.
Of course. Thank you, Madam Mayor. My name is Brad Hoagland. I'm a member of the Old City Hall RFP committee and serve as a citizen member on that committee. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and members of City Council. And I'm pleased to report on behalf of the committee. We had a very involved committee, lots of good discussion. Everyone had Meridian's best interest at heart. We want to see Meridian downtown be revived, renewed, and now how we get there, that was the point of a lot of discussion. I do want to comment about the process. A very robust process was put into place, starting from the very beginning of providing information, sending that out, responding to inquiries, doing tours. There was a strong submission and review process. The interviews, the scoring, as you heard about, ultimately a good discussion and a final decision that came out of all of that. And I do want to thank the good work of both the MDC staff and city staff for all the effort that they put into it and made it a good process. So that was very, very helpful to us. I am pleased to report two very strong proposals were brought forward for the city of Meridian, which is exciting to see. They were very good. They were different in some respects, but each one would be a benefit to our downtown. So that's exciting to see. I grew up in Meridian in sixth grade, so I remember downtown when it was very vibrant, robust. Of course, we're only a town of maybe 5,000, but it was a place to go and do business and get your hair cut and, you know, go to the Western Auto, buy your basketball hoop, you know, so you can shoot baskets against the garage. So to have that vitality once again and see the vision that people have for downtown Meridian is wonderful. Now the hard part comes, and that's making it a reality, and that involves your decision here today. Now, although they were different concepts for what these proposals were, they did have the components of retail, office, and living space for each one. Probably from a high level of the project proposals, one was a little more, the residential space is probably more what I'd call workforce units. The other one probably higher end. And one of the discussions we had was, are we at the point for higher end at this time, or do we need to go somewhere that's more budget friendly, if you will. Those were the types of discussions we were having, and it was great dialogue, and as we continue continued through the process, it came down to some very important factors. And I know you've had the information sent to you, or you had time to go through it. But in the deliberations by the committee, the major factors for November Whiskey that came down to was, number one, it paid the city for the old City Hall property. So there was a cash track transaction there that would benefit, to me, the taxpayers. It had a tighter timeline for completion. There was a public financing requirement that group felt was more feasible. And also, the likelihood of additional partner parcels not in this RFP that could be developed if they were selected. And they talked about that. Due to the ownership already in place of what was feasible there, we thought it was a good component of that. The other proposal, while an outstanding proposal, there are lots of elements we liked about it. The additional time needed for the vetting of the project. And of course, there were elements of public funding required for the parking garage. Major issue. Payment to the developer for the old City Hall property. Again, now taxpayer monies was going to the developer for this, and there was some concern about that. The request of waiver for permitting fees, and that added to a significant chunk of change for a good proposal, but we just felt that was a hurdle that was a little too high. So really it came down for this group, what was most realistic in this situation at this point in time. Now, we realize this is a decision for the city and NBC to make. If you can overcome those hurdles and make that happen, I mean, like I said, when you look at the scoring as one of the tools that we use, they're very close, very close. So that's not, just because that's not our recommendation, it doesn't mean it's bad for the city. There were just some other considerations that we looked at and went, we don't know if that's possible. So our recommendation was for November Whiskey to for their RFP for the council and board to consider. But as a project, the other one did have merit, but it just didn't meet that muster. But I think another thing that the group agreed on, go after this, we can start getting into the questions. I'm sure there'll be a few. Everybody wants to see the project move forward. It is time for the city to make something happen. We've got investment that's going on in our downtown core. There are people who put money, there are businesses, viable businesses, that are occurring. We really think by doing this project, it will kickstart additional investment growth in our downtown core. We have a lot of room for that. It would be exciting to see. And the economy is to the point, I think, it will happen. So we are on that verge of more investment happening. I think a project will show that Meridian is serious about transforming their downtown, reviving it. And I think there's folks out there on the sidelines watching to see what this group will do, and see if we're serious about forward, and I hope that occurs. So good things will happen from this. So I hope you make something happen. So with that, I didn't want to be too long, but happy to start the questions.
Thank you, Brad. Are there questions?
Mr.
Mr. Hoffman, thank you for your service to this committee. I think having your pragmatic voice as part of this group to really help move this process along. I'm fascinated by this image that's in our packet of these post-it notes. Can you talk us through that exercise and what was trying to be gained? And maybe my eyes are really terrible, and I don't expect you to be able to look in there and tell us what those are, but maybe just a synopsis of how. Because for me, it appears that there are more positives for the chase and more negative, or I guess, more negatives for November Whiskey. But I don't know if I'm reading that right. And so it could be, though, that they're the same thing. So I'm just hoping you can give me some better understanding about that exercise.
You want to put that on camera? So, yeah.
Great.
But staff, since they developed that, wanted to go through that exercise.
Madam Mayor, Councilman Kavanagh, just to give you just a quick glimpse into this process, we decided to utilize some of the training that we received recently from one of the chief cabinet trainings. And the purpose behind this was to really capture opinions really quickly without bias. So this was done without speaking. So every committee member was given the opportunity to place their own individual pluses and minuses without discussion on the board. And then once that was captured, we then went through a process of clustering like comments. And then from there, we had a prioritization process where we gave people these dots that essentially prioritized the comments. And so that was the process that was conducted.
Can you summarize then the positives on the November whiskey? Looks like the one has, I think, four dots. I'm just curious what that blowing piece was.
Sure. Yeah, so the big ones there were the downtown kind of commitment and understanding. If I remember right, it was also the financial strength was the one in the top left there.
As I understand, it's somewhat typical that the committee has scored both proposals, and then after there was a presentation, committee members had a chance to rescore or adjust their scores. Is that accurate?
Madam Mayor, Councilman Kavanagh. So, again, to the earlier comment, the scoring was just the tool. Committee members were allowed to adjust as information came in, keep it firm, do whatever they'd like. Come to their own decision-making prowess. It was just a tool for them to make their own judgment. But yeah, that they could change as they sort of chose.
Any other questions?
Madam Mayor? We had two representatives from City Council on that committee, and I want to thank them for their time and for their effort. There's a lot of time required in what we do, wondering if we could get some remarks from two individuals who represented our body on this committee, just to get their feedback and maybe their take of what happened and maybe why they voted a certain way or why they didn't vote a certain way. Help us out for our body.
Madam Mayor, as Mr. Hoagland says, you know, we're really lucky to have two amazing proposals. And as you know, first we get the materials and we read through it, you know, on our own time and over and looking at pictures and numbers and do a scoring sheet, our first one. But both of them have a lot to offer the downtown. They're a little different and a lot similar. One of the things with the November whiskey that had me leaning a little bit towards them was the downtown business owners have been asking us for years and saying, we need help, we need workforce housing. And so the price of their apartments are a few hundred dollars less than the other project. So it's more suitable for workforce, more affordable housing.
For sale or for lease?
Both for rent. So both situations have that rent. It was just lower with this project. The taxpayer participation for me was like the elephant in the room, right? It's not even a possibility. The way that the November whiskey is actually paying for a property, which is what several council members have shown interest in really wanting to sell the property. Well, this gets that done as well. We're selling the property. We're not giving them
The parking was another issue. You know, with both of them, I thought, I was hoping for a little bit more parking, either project. They're both really great projects. I think either one will be a fabulous project for downtown. It will bring a lot of amazing businesses, some housing opportunity, and so I'm excited about it. And if you have any specific questions, I'm happy to answer that as well.
Ms. Lowell Roberts, Madam Mayor. Much along the lines of what Councilman Milam said, great projects, a lot to go through, a lot to digest. Probably one of the things that I wanted to see us do was maybe take a little more time, because it is, looking at what we're going to see 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I know it's an absolute lot to get through. Would have even appreciated having a second round with both entities that we had RFPs from, because there is so much. I think afterwards, we did go ahead and vote after the second presentation, and I was kind of the lone holdout that would have loved to have seen us maybe take more time and just process through. Not saying we wouldn't come up with the same solution, but I just think that we could have taken more time to kind of deep dive. We did have some questions left for both of them, and so I think that we could have, gather more information before a decision is made. We definitely have some questions regarding the funding payment, which we love, versus more of a taxpayer cost, and just vet through that more before we make a decision.
Thank you. Other questions?
I think it's, I wasn't involved in the committee. A lot of people have alluded, I've heard elephant in the room, I've heard not possible, I've heard funding gap, nobody's spelled this out. Somebody spelled this out. Black and white for everyone involved.
Mr. Black.
The big elephant in the room was a $3.3 million number that the city was going to be required to come up with approximately, and I don't know the figures right in front of me, to pay for the land that would go straight to the developer. The other big elephant in the room was over $12 million cost to MDC for funding the private public parking garage that needed to be done on that project. So when the elephant in the room was, well, we didn't have those funds, first of all, how we were going to get them, because we didn't understand the private public partnership on the parking, and where parking was a huge consideration on both of these. We figured, chicken and egg, what do you want first? You want some more people downtown, we'll figure out the parking down the road, or we have to pay for that up front. So I think that vetting process as far as time frame would have been a consideration, but I think we had to make a decision on two proposals that we had in front of us. That's what we were commissioned to do, and that's when the decision was made on that for the public's best interest and the taxpayer's best interest as far as the dollars.
And Madam Mayor, if I might add, there was, as I mentioned earlier, the November listing proposal would pay the city $560,000, $563,000 for the funding. There was a public financing participation of MDC, I think it was $460,000. But it sounded like Steve and others, there were some things in the works, much more doable.
Right.
Whereas the other, as Steve pointed out, Commissioner Lessig, sorry, pointed out, came to it totaled about $15 million in public funding that's tough to figure out. And like I said, it's a quality project. Both of them are. So if you can overcome that hurdle, you certainly can move forward with that one. But the one that was realistic, the one that met the needs and the ability to kickstart that block, and within the time frames, we'd like to see things happen. And time frames are important here. The November Whiskey proposal will meet all that criteria.
So to So they had, they offered their proposals, and it was a one-time deal. They presented their proposals, and you guys spoke about it. Well, there was no room for, you know, coming back and fixing their proposals, coming back with proposal number two. I mean, what they presented was what was discussed.
Okay. Councilman Byrne? Yes, there was a lot of back and forth. I mean, there was questions by both members of the committee and staff, and inquiring about their understanding of certain things, and that's kind of where we got bogged down with the Chase proposal. There was a clear lack of understanding of some processes and funding mechanisms that the city and NBC can and cannot do. So that gets into the vetting and the time issue and trying to work through things that, in the end, it still came to that fact that this is still going to be a very expensive endeavor for taxpayers. So there was back and forth, and you know, are there alternatives to this? You know, well, if is that a solid proposal? It's, you know, $12 million. Well, we can lop off the floor of the parking garage and make it $8 million, but we still need a significant amount of money. So there was that dialogue that happened, but no, let's come back, you know, 2 days with a new proposal. Because as we talked to council about this and saying, you know, this was the RFP process, this was their proposal, you know, this is what we have before us. And they had lots of ample opportunity to ask for input from staff and to make sure they understood everything. And so that was the proposals we had in front of us that we responded to.
But at the end of the day, after it was all said and done, after the proposals were heard by your committee, it was crystal clear to those the two applicants that what they proposed was it. There was no negotiation going forward. So their final and best offer, they knew going into it there was no negotiation that was going to be it.
Yes. It was my understanding that this was going to be it. Now, from our committee standpoint, from our process, yes.
So the second part of this process was to hear from the committee, and then it was to hear from the proposed to present as they presented to the committee and answer any questions from the NBC board and the city council. So shall we transition into that? Brad, will you still be available for questions?
I'll be standing, yes. Thank you very much.
I've got a question for Brad.
Yes.
Brad, do you feel like the November Whiskey proposal provides adequate parking for the development?
You know, the parking proposal, they propose some things for going diagonal on streets, and the number they hit came up with what was MDC's numbers for projects that was adequate. It did meet adequate for the project. So Councilman Palmer, now, for the future growth of downtown, do we need more? That's a good question to explore. So it worked for that particular project.
Yeah, thanks. Madam Mayor, just a quick follow-up on that. As staff, we did analyze the proposal parking aspect as far as code is concerned. And yeah, there's, as proposed, the project does meet our requirement for Old Town.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, CJ has loading that app, if you'll please introduce yourselves.
Denise Carter.
I'm Josh Everts. I'm the managing member of November Whiskey Properties, 303 East State Avenue, Gray, Idaho, 83642. So, first of all, I guess I want to start by saying thank you as well. This is a selection of slides which was intended to give a higher level review of what we did in 2 hours, knowing that we didn't have 2 hours to spend here. But I do appreciate the committee that was put together, the work that NDC's done. It wasn't lost on myself or Pacific Companies, just how much time they have to put in to make this whole process happen and review these things. We were certainly fielding lots of questions on a regular basis, just looking for clarification. So this was not a haphazard effort. And as a taxpayer, I'll take the work that I do out of it. As a taxpayer, it was nice to see a level of effort and a group that was really energized and wanting to see downtown Meridian prosper. So with that, let's run through a couple slides here. Next slide. Overview, what I really want to talk about today is we are going to hit some project financials, development specifics, but I do really want to talk about the team. I think that was one of the things that we got as feedback when we did this, was that it was very clear that we had a thorough understanding of downtown Meridian, and that didn't happen by accident. You know, for some people, this has been something that they've got to experience in the last 12 months. For me, this has been 5 years. So definitely we wanted to walk through that. So let's go to that slide really quick. And also just clarifying the relationship. So the team is November Whiskey Properties, which is Lori and I. We started in 2013 with the acquisition of the Heritage Building. We had written a specific goal at that point to make strategic investments into Old Town through the acquisition and restoration of historic properties. That's where it kind of began with, that we liked old buildings. It was about that time, I think it was the year after, that I started work on the Historic Preservation Commission in my way to kind of serve our downtown. And then in 2014, when we got done with that and got more invested into trying to acquire, or not acquire, but to entice businesses to come to our downtown, we expanded our vision to include courting strategic business partners who offer value-added equity to our developments, meaning we want to find partners that are willing to join us in downtown Meridian. For those of us, as I look around the room, that run businesses down here, I run three businesses down here, which some of the committee wasn't aware of, that outside of the property development work we do, I have a software entity that I manage that does work for the Department of Defense, and then we have the Vault, which is a retail establishment. And what I will tell you specifically about downtown Meridian is it's a very tough game. And it is, while we see a lot of growth that's happening in the city of Meridian, a lot of that growth is happening by way of stuff that's happening on Eagle Road and up Chinden at 10 Mile. And we have not gotten to experience that same kind of renewal and excitement. My other partner, Caleb, who is not here today, he apologizes. He thought the meeting was at 7. He's in Seattle during the day today. But Denise is here, and she manages all the portfolios for the Pacific Companies. Caleb and I, as we sat down and really looked at this, we realized that the big fix, or what we thought was really strategic for this project, was to really focus on the residential living component and really understanding who we are in downtown Meridian and making sure that that was not something that was inaccessible to a normal downtown Meridian resident currently. Making it affordable, making sure that that was accessible. Even though Caleb and I could afford expensive living in downtown Meridian, we felt that in order to provide that workforce housing and be able to get something that's accessible where we can get millennials and younger professionals and newlyweds an opportunity to come live in a downtown that's vibrant and has some things going on, we felt that was important. So that's our team. Next slide. Our responsibilities. We thought this was important to line out for the committee. My responsibility, first and foremost, has always been kind of vision. So with the current agreement that we have on the Main and Broadway development site, the Heritage Building, we already own 50% of the corners that were on this development site. So, and I've had a vision for doing something extraordinary in our downtown that frankly other people just weren't willing to go and do. I've been very public about my comments. I've been begging people to come and submit proposals. We did that 2 years ago and nobody else did. I was really happy to see another proposal. I actually haven't seen the details of the other proposal, but from everybody I've talked to, it was impressive, and I think that's important that we've got something else to look at. Like, I'm encouraged by that, and I'm encouraged by that because as we do this Catalyst project, I think we're going to get other people investing in downtown. My job is to recruit, so I was responsible for
all the tenants we have in the Heritage Building, and those have been absolute assets to our downtown. I'm going to continue to do that. We've been very active in the last 2 years talking to anchor tenants in this project, that when comes time, we're going to be excited to have them down here. Like, I've got to bring them in. And then communication, obviously, meeting with you guys and doing the work that I do publicly. The Pacific Company is responsible for the real heavy lifting. So number one is the development. So their company is a vertically integrated company, meaning they have all the assets, architectural, engineering, construction, all under one umbrella. That's what allows them to do the kind of projects that they do. I think Caitlin shared with me that they're doing about $500 million in projects this year. They have done over $3 billion. This is in the proposal of construction projects since 1998. And they are not a build and sell company. They are a build and hold. I think they're nearing $1.7 billion in current assets that they have under control. So they're truly a partner. They're looking to come in and make a strategic investment. So the development is on their shoulders, and then the financing. So that was the big, big thing that we wanted to, as Caleb and I sat down in preparing our response to the proposal, is we wanted to make sure that this was a zero-risk opportunity for the city, that we were very respectful of some of the comments that were made pre-RFP about needing to be purchasing the property. We felt that that was important. So we did some assessments on land values, so we made sure that we were writing the check. And the money that we were asking for was, in support from MDC, was specific infrastructure money that urban renewal agencies would be doing. But we wanted to make sure that that was in line with what expectations would be for a typical urban renewal project. So this would be our second urban renewal development project we've done with the city. And so doing the project with the vault, we were able to see what that model looked like, making sure there was an appropriate amount of skin in the game from the developer, meaning us, and that we weren't asking the public to take in inappropriate amount of support from them to get the project done. So that's kind of the team. Next slide. Why us? There were three big things that we thought were compelling about what we bring to the table. The first one was kind of an aligned vision. We definitely had a head start on this just with the amount of work that I've done in 5 years with the city. So my deep understanding of the destination downtown, our revitalization plan, and comp plans, those weren't things that I had to go and research. Those are things that I feel myself talking about on a regular basis in our downtown. So if we go to the next slide, I did want to kind of show a matrix of, when we look at our destination downtown, how do we check some boxes on some really key items here? So in our destination downtown, we talk about 2-4-story infill and restoration. So this is really described as infill development in the district and developing vacant and underutilized parcels. This is exactly what we're talking about here, and we felt like our plan addressed that with making sure that we maximize what is a very small footprint in our downtown. Traditional architecture themes, promoting the use of traditional architecture that conform to the historic character of our downtown. As you see in the elevations, we're looking at lots of brick, some very simple glazing that's very much in line. We have a challenge that we have this beautiful heritage building on the corner, and we have this very much more modern city hall that sits in between, and we're talking about the development between. So I think it's really important to blend a little bit between the two, and we feel like with our elevations, the work that the architects did was fantastic and delivered on that. The continuous urban edge, creating the strong street wall, zero lot line development, again, we're just trying to maximize that footprint. So a little bit of the offsets that you're seeing with little grass areas that are currently at the Farmers and Merchants Bank at 703, building out to those lot lines. But I guess the one comment that I would make that we didn't include in the elevations, because it's really gonna be directed by the tenants, one of the comments that we got in committee was placemaking and the opportunity for outdoor seating. Our expectation is that in our work with the potential retailers and tenants and restaurants, if they have a requirement for outdoor seating, or if it was something that MDC thought was important to have more of that outdoor kind of experience, that we would work with our retail restaurant partners as well as with MDC to make sure that we were checking that box. Vertical and horizontal integration use, we checked that. And then we get to this preserved downtown housing. And what was really interesting about that, outside of the destination downtown, if you look at our existing comp plan, There's a section in there, and I'm sorry, I don't have the reference right in front of me, but it's the section where there were about seven items that were to be considered as part of downtown development. And they would have different rankings from low priority or ongoing to where it could be the highest priority. The only item in there that got a high priority was affordable downtown living in downtown Meridian. And really dealing with this, you know, live-work units to bring people downtown, promote local business, and ensure 24/7 activity. Like, that was the only thing in that list that got the highest priority. And we felt like that was a big check mark for us. Walkability and activity. I know we've talked about parking. You know, Caleb brought some very interesting perspectives as their developments are kind of all over the place. And we really do believe that you get what you incent. So if we are doing a development where we are providing, you know, 1.5 to 2 parking spaces per residential unit, then what we're going to get is a commuter community. But we felt like we needed to provide the 1 parking space per unit and be trying to attract and look for those people that want that walkability and the activity. I know that even my son, who's living down in Pasadena right now, has a car, but is realizing that, you know, having cars in downtowns amounts to parking and public, you know, commuting has gotten so much better that as he's nearing his 20s, you know, is looking at options that don't include car insurance and gas and other things. And then civic uses. We did not address this directly in our proposal. There is the discussion of Unbound Library, I know Nick's here today. We did brief Gretchen and the Meridian Library District Board, told them that it was our intent to include them in this project and that we would be making lease space available to them. We think it's important to not lose Unbound in our downtown. And they were very open to that. So it was too late to include that in the proposal, but we did brief the board and we'll press forward if we're so fortunate to be chosen to make sure that they stay in our city core. Next slide. Trusted experience. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I think our track record kind of speaks for itself in terms of what we do down here. If we do go to the next slide, the one thing that I will point out is that as we go through this list, and this is in your packet, so I won't spend time here, but as we look at the NDC urban renewal goals, we feel that we're very aligned to what you guys are trying to accomplish. Next slide. Low risk. When we look at the project in terms of time frames, dollars, what it would cost the taxpayer, what we think the lease rates are, we were very, very aggressive. The lease rates that we put on the commercial space were to attract the best. We weren't going to put premium lease rates out there and have vacant space. We feel that it's important that when we get this project up and going, that it is fully leased out and we find real partners, people that understand downtown Meridian, and are willing to join us. And we also needed to make sure that we had the financials. One of the things that Caleb shared in committee is that in doing $500 million in construction this year, this is not a project that is going to make or break the Pacific companies. In fact, I think one of the sentiments he shared, correct me if I'm wrong, committee, was that, you know, even if this project went through a lot of pain and we had a downturn in the economy and we lost a couple million dollars in the first couple years, that's not having any material effect on our team and not going to prohibit us from delivering on this project. Next slide. Caleb and the Pacific Companies is currently doing the Eagle Urban Renewal District project. So this should give you an idea that he's already doing this stuff. Happens to be an Eagle. I would like it to be here. And this includes multifamily apartments, townhomes, retail space, office space. And it's doing great. So I think the opportunity to literally get on the phone with a partner city in the Treasure Valley and ask what that experience has been like and to go view things and look at things is a big positive. Next slide. So some quick high-level highlights. We have a $20 million proposed project cost. 7.4 of that is coming from us in cash. 11.6 of it, kind of the remaining balance, is a construction loan. Caleb's got multiple banking relationships. This is not really an issue. So he uses lots of different equity partners and banks to make this happen. I will share that Idaho Independent Bank here in our downtown already reached out to us and wants a shot at bidding for that, and we're going to allow them to, because we think this is a Meridian project, and if we can have a Meridian bank that's competitive, we want to do that. The contribution for the land value for the City Hall site, $565K. I share this because I think it's important to know that Caleb and I are doing this because of our passion for Meridian. So our effective gross income in the first year of this project is about $1.5 million. Once we've serviced our debt and expenses and everything, you can see the residential rates are $990 to $1160 based on whether it's a one-bedroom or two-bedroom unit, and $18 triple net for the commercial spaces. That leaves us with a year one net cash flow of $167,000. So for our $7.4 million, we're looking at about a 2% return. I think our targeted rate is going to be about 4 to 5% on this project, is what we shared in committee. We're doing this because we want to make an investment in the valley and in the city that we live in. Last slide here, or I think maybe I've got one more, just kind of an overview of the site. We have two buildings, Building A, which is the main Broadway project, 40,000 square feet, four-floor building, roughly a 6,000 square foot footprint, 31 residential units on that, 6,000 of retail space. The Building B, which is the old City Hall site, which is what we're talking about today, is the sister to that building. It's 80,000 square feet, four floors, retail, commercial on the first floor, 72 residential units. We did look at programming the parking in the inside of this, so that we are building right to the street edges, so we're getting a very visual element as far as this project as we come up Main Street or Meridian. But we do believe that this parking is an appropriate amount of parking for a first project into downtown Meridian. We feel like we've met the need there and addressed that. The only thing that we don't reference on this is the building, the Klein property that wraps around the Heritage Building. So as most of you know, Dave Klein died in March. We were in discussions with Dave as well as Bill, who's the other property owner on that site. We are in conversations with Dave's daughter right now. I believe there's they are wanting to wait to see what the fruits of this discussion are before they go further in the conversation, but they are open to adding this. If we do add that building, it's going to add another 16 units of residential space, obviously more parking, as well as we would be adding an additional floor of office space. We felt that on that corner, much like what we do in the Heritage Building, that we would only do two floors of residential, one floor of office, and one floor of retail restaurants. Next slide. Some elevations for you guys to look at. I'm a little bit sad when I see this picture because I see the Heritage Building to scale in the lower right-hand corner, which is a super huge building right now, and it's less so. But I think that this kind of vertical development is what we need down here, given the limited amount of real estate we have. Next slide. Timeline. I just keep going back to Board Member Bird's comments that we've got to get something done. So I put a lot of pressure on Caleb. And I said, okay, so if we get some decisions in August, September, how quickly can we get a building built? And the reality is, this is a really, really great time and strategic time to do this. There is some work to be done with the development agreement to make sure that we dotted our I's and crossed our T's. But we believe that, you know, going through that due diligence, we would be able to receive the entitlements, acquire the property. Most of our design, at least some of the initial elevations, we actually did those last fall. We surveyed the site last fall in preparation for this. And really, we'd be to permitting and demolition next March, and we would have you a completed building ready to move in November of 2020. Which is a little over 2 years from now. So we think it's aggressive, but we think it's very, very doable. And we think that, you know, that based on the conversations that I've had with city planning, as far as the main Broadway project goes, there was nothing in our designs that was causing them any consternation. We haven't really deviated off of that. We've kept this very, very simple and something that's executable and is not costing the taxpayers money. Last thing is questions. Unless I should let Denise stop the break. I rambled.
Yeah. Workforce housing, affordable housing is what we do. We have 165 properties in 12 states. We do a number of infill mixed use, but 95% of our portfolio is affordable workforce.
seen a lot of cities coming to us and saying, you know, people are wanting to live and work and have their whole lives be in these areas. And so, you know, to be able to provide that to Meridian would be amazing.
Thank you, Josh.
Never in any of council discussions about what to do with Old City Hall did we ever have any discussion or at least intention that I remember or could have perceived of workforce housing. The intent that I believe we were going for was that the property be as profitable as possible, having people with as much money as possible living there as a catalyst to supporting the businesses that do survive. I'm not looking to feed the three dive bars downtown. I'm looking to feed Cahoots, to feed Flatbread, the wine place, the bike shop, these kinds of businesses. We've got enough people that go down there and drink until the bar closes at 2 a.m, and then I pick them up in Uber and drive them back to Nampa, or drive them 3 blocks east. I want the kind of people that have the money to be there because they have the money to buy a house, but they choose to live there rent because they can walk to those kinds of places and not have to be in downtown Boise. So I've just lost as to why workforce housing is what to propose when that's never been a discussion by council.
I think workforce housing is just kind of a generic term. We understand the people here. Our rents are just right. These rents are just right below what we're going to be charging at Prelude at Paramount, which is a Class A property. So we're looking for people. I mean, $990 a month for a one bedroom unit isn't going to, that is somebody that's, in your middle to upper class.
Can I ask a clarifying question kind of for you and for you? I think there's a misconception of what workforce housing actually means. You don't have to disclose this in front of the whole entire world, but think of a number in your head. How much is your house I know you have kids. You have a lot more rooms in a one-bedroom or a two-bedroom. This isn't cheap housing. We're not talking low-income housing. We are talking about, I am the biggest employer in downtown aside from City Hall. I believe, at least I have the biggest payroll, I think. All of my employees that are young want to live in this.
And our units, to be clear, are, we put in, the hard surface. Command those rents, we believe, we're going to have to build those units. So workforce housing, you're correct, can be interpreted a couple of different ways. And, in California, $990 isn't going to get you anything. But here, it's your middle to upper class that are going to be living there where they want to work and have their recreation, everything within a small area.
Hi, Mayor. That's fine, because I brought that. By workforce housing, doesn't mean affordable, low-income housing. But what it means to me, and as I guess the way that I said it, and we have had council meetings where we have had business owners come speak at, so it wasn't necessarily the topic of our hearing, but we've had business owners speak at, they would like somewhere where their employees could live. So workforce housing is somewhere where they could work, near where they work. So somewhere for their employees to work, not to live, not necessarily cheap housing, but somewhere they can live nearby and be accessible and not to commute in. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant by that.
It's also been a catalyst of, if you look at the four most successful urban rental districts in the states next to us, it's been a catalyst for every single one of them. You look at Sugar House, look at the Industrial District in Salt Lake, if you look at the Pearl District, and if you look at Sacramento. So, we don't need to reinvent the wheel here. This is how urban rental works. I actually serve on the urban rental board, workforce housing.
have a question.
Madam.
Mr. Kent.
Josh.
Yes, sir.
Great presentation.
Thank you.
A lot of questions. Number one, appreciate your my pretty blunt comments about compensating our taxpayers for their assets. It does bring up an interesting question, and maybe this has already been resolved. What happens if the MDC doesn't fund that project, or has the MDC already agreed to fund the partial purchase of Old City Hall? Right? If they haven't and they choose not to, then what happens?
We've not had any discussions. So I think that the understanding that we've gotten from the committee is that this is one more step in the process that, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Leckie, that we have to go through a development agreement, which is where we would kind of outline all those things to make sure that we've dotted our I's and crossed our T's. I think this was more of a process to select who does the city want to work with to deliver on this project, given their vision and financing they're communicating. So I think that there's some just detailed kind of work. Am I answering your question?
And this would be the first step is to act on the recommendation from the committee, and then negotiations would happen. Those would be brought back to the city council and then to the MPC boards in the individual roles that each would play. So this is step one of a several step process.
Mayor Josh, you're the applicant, and in your terms, Pacific Corp's doing the heavy lifting. Who would the development agreement be with?
Actually, that's a great question. So we would anticipate that we would have a legal entity that would be jointly both of us that the development agreement would be with, that we would be very explicit, because we also have to figure out what to do with the current development agreement for Main and Broadway and make sure that we deconflict that piece as well. So, because we're kind of adding all these things together potentially. So I think that it would be with an entity that would be a blend of November Whiskey Properties and Pacific Companies. Yeah.
Thank you. Madam Mayor?
Mr. Burke.
Can you give us like a breakdown percentage-wise between residential and commercial, how many units of commercial space, square footage versus residential?
Yeah, the residential is 103 units, and I think the mix is about 50-50 between one bedroom and two bedroom. The commercial space, I think, is 17,000 square feet, roughly. And what's going to determine the mix in terms of number of units there is really what are the nature of the tenants that we're bringing in. So our discussion with Meridian Library District, Unbound is looking. They think they can optimize in about 2,200 square feet is, I think, what we were talking about with them. I think the restaurant that we're talking about for the anchor of Main and Broadway is going to be 3,400 square feet. So that's going to leave us roughly 2,000 in the Main and Broadway side. It could be a couple 1,000 square foot units if we started pursuing the small ice cream shop that the mayor so desperately wanted. And then really whatever we end up doing on the Old City Hall site, that's where we intend to put New Venture, or not New Venture Lab, but the Unbound Library, and then just really figuring out the mix there. We don't believe Meridian Road is going to be a really attractive front edge. It moves way too quick for retail. So we really want to make sure we probably, have Unbound closer to Meridian Road, because I think the visual scene, that's important. But really, we want to make sure that retail restaurant is going to be in the walkable space, which is going to be on Idaho, on Main,
Board. Any questions from the board? Mr.
Bassman. Josh, you mentioned the retail. Isn't there in your proposal a second level of office space as well?
In the Klein piece, there is. So we don't have an office space in the Main and Broadway and the Old City Hall site, but if we had the Dave Klein piece, then we would do an additional floor of office space in that footprint.
So in those two buildings, it's retail on the first floor.
And then 3 floors of residential, correct.
So, council and the question in front of you is, do you have enough information to make a decision today on approving or rejecting the
representative here from the other proposal. I would love to hear from him as well.
Madam Mayor, we didn't notice that they were going to be a contender, and we're also out of time. So, I mean, if that's the desire of the council or the board or both, I would suggest you notice that for another meeting when they weren't asked to present. So, I don't know if you're prepared, but we didn't notice that, but that would be part of our discussion today. So, the public wouldn't have any notice that we were talking about that. So, if that's the desire, I think we should speak like that.
Madam Mayor, I'm going to be nuts first to make a decision without hearing. So if a motion's in order, I'm going to continue this to another meeting when it gets set.
Second. Okay, I have a motion and a second to set on another joint meeting to hear from the other RFP responder discussion.
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Kaplan.
Comment, I appreciate the motion. Second, I think it's a little premature for us to continue a meeting without at least allowing the MDC to have their opportunity to chime in. If that board feels the same way and wants to continue this to a joint meeting, great, let's continue to a joint meeting. If MDC feels that they've got enough information to render a decision, we should allow that body to render a decision if that's what they want to do. We've got a motion at least from two council members. We as a body can have a separate discussion about if we feel it's enough to make a decision or continue it. But just, I guess, maybe out of respect to MDC members and their time, to at least give them an opportunity to chime in before we render a vote on continuing their meeting as well. My two cents.
Madam Mayor.
Ms. Miley.
Just real quick, I think that as much as I respect and appreciated the other applicant, I think the whole purpose of having a committee to go through stacks and stacks and hours of this process, having them both then come here and having all of you then go home and do your homework so that you can come back and do that, we should have just all been the committee in the first place. So it kind of defeats the purpose.
You're here. It was your guys' idea to have a committee.
You were the second.
Yeah, you were the second. You were right.
And all voted for it. Yes.
I think this work, I mean, thanks for giving us an opportunity to weigh in on this. I agree with you. I don't understand. The committee was originally the idea of the city council. The committee's happened. The committee has people from the public. It has people from the MDC. It has people from your own city council. By the way, the MDC meetings are public meetings that you can come to where you could discuss and listen to a lot of stuff as well. It just seems like I delay for the sake of delay, I guess, at this point. I don't understand why we're continuing to stall these things. Also, the last thing I'll point out is we did have a recap from Brad. We had a recap from everybody, and the math is still the math. We have a proposal that has a gap of about $100,000 in public funding. In a feasible project, and we have a gap on the other one that's between $13 and $15 million. That's not just really big, it is impossible. The actual budget that NBC has cannot pay that. It isn't even possible. So that would be my comments on why do we continue to rehash stuff and waste time, which, by the way, the last comment I have is businesses are moving out of downtown. While the city council and everyone can delivery. I am not a politician and never intend on being one. Member will probably be a viable one with all the reported comments that I make here. But my business is moving out of downtown because there's no office space and there's no place for the young people to be. Coffee shops are going out of business again and again. The little thrift store down the street from us has now went out of business, I think, 7 times since I've been a tenant in downtown. So I guess we could continue to deliberate. But I've got a $12 million
realize there's certain people who want to be on every damn committee there is, or they don't want to go for anything. But you select those, and those people go through a lot of hard work to select something. They come and present it. Everything's went out. I don't understand why we have to have another meeting to, you know, one thing I found in public life is it's hurry up and have another meeting. I right now, as far as I'm concerned on the NBC board, I'm ready to make a decision. The back of the committee, they work their off to come up with the best part of the they do it.
I agree. I think, you know, I think we've got, as far as the MDC, on behalf of the MDC board, I think we've got enough information. And if it's appropriate, I'd like to make a motion on behalf of the MDC board.
I'm not sure the order of.
We're discussing your motion.
Well,
control.
But we did have a council that asked the MDC. So procedurally, we still have a motion on the floor, but which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Does our motion help inform your motion?
Well, Madam Mayor, I guess that's the question. I mean, it was invited for the NBC board to weigh in on whether it's appropriate to them. This conversation is not, but I don't know that. So it really is. Desire is to see if it's a joint proposal to move it forward or a single proposal to continue to move it forward. It would make more sense for the city council to wait, even just to know that you're moving it forward with two boards and setting up a meeting at once.
Okay. Well, then I would turn this to Mr. Winter and look for the direction from the MDC.
Commissioner Blasek. Mr. Chair, on behalf of the NBC board, I guess I'd like to make a motion that, sure, spell this out correctly, make a motion to accept a desired proposal from November Whiskey Properties and Pacific Companies as agreed upon by our RFP committee that was formed, and then maybe authorize MDC and the city to negotiate and bring back agreements between the city and MDC regarding transfer of the property. And MDC and the developer regarding any project or maybe other recommendations that the city would like to see. And that would be my motion. Second. So, motion by Commissioner Blasek and then second by Commissioner Bassett. Is there any further discussion?
I can call those.
Okay, Ashley, you
can call it. Commissioner Bassalone.
Aye.
Commissioner Mueller.
Aye.
Commissioner Byrd.
Aye.
Commissioner DeBeard.
Aye.
I'm sorry if I meant to exclude you. Commissioner Winder.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevin. Commissioner Vlasic.
Aye.
All ayes.
The question is, why am I making this motion? Why am I asking for the other party to weigh in? When if we're to only consider what the committee's decision was, why did we give the majority of the time this meeting to the proposal that they are putting forward? So that proposer, or whatever the word might be, if the committee's recommendation is a committee's recommendation, we're either voting yes or no on that. But we're still listening to a presentation. What's the point if we're not going to listen to the presentation on the other one? That's
that's why I want to continue this meeting, because it's been deemed inappropriate to hear from the only other representative from another proposal. So that's why I'd rather not have another meeting, but if that's what it takes to be able to hear anything else, we don't really know what else to know without giving them a chance to say something. Councilman Palmer, what's been deemed inappropriate?
This was because it was not listed on the agenda as an item. Mr. Kaplan.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Appreciate, I think, some very important questions that were raised by the MDC about City Council establishing this committee. I think it's important just to take into consideration when we formed the committee, we didn't know how many applicants we would receive. We didn't know if it was going to be 1 or 100. And in fact, when the council was first apprised, there were significant amount of interest from a wide variety of stakeholders on this project, which absolutely reinforced the need for us having a committee, but ultimately received 2 RFPs. I tend to agree. I think it's absolutely appropriate for us to hear from the other party. If the direction from the city council is we want to pick a winner and loser, if we wanted to be fast, we could have held an auction on the steps of City Hall and sold the building and not even needed this meeting. If we wanted to be fast, we could have done that. Both MDC and specifically the city council said we're going to pick a winner, set losers, and we're going to go through this process. So if we are going to pick a winner, and we are going to have losers, I think we as a body need to make sure that we have done all of our due diligence to say, you're the winner. And if that means hearing from the only other applicant, again, from the end of that, I still might say thumbs down to both. I don't know. But without hearing from them, I don't feel comfortable making a decision today. So I know that there was a motion for a joint continuance. I think that's been answered. Maker of the motion, who may rephrase their motion to continue this decision for City Council, that's something I would be very supportive of.
Yes, sir. Before we do that, I think just a point of clarification. We're not picking winners or losers tonight. It's my understanding. We're not deciding tonight that it's November Whiskey or it's or you know. We're deciding tonight just to pursue more questions. To maybe negotiations of, you know, maybe look for more specifics is what I guess we're talking about. And so going down the line, point of clarification for me, if the negotiations, or if it doesn't make sense to continue with November Whiskey, are we tonight, are we obligated to try to deal with November Whiskey, or are we saying we're going to continue negotiations or continue dialogue with November Whiskey in the proposal?
The question at hand is to accept or reject the recommendation of the committee or continue for additional information. But when you make a decision, you're going to be negotiating with FIG for one project.
Yeah, in that same regard, I don't think picking winners and losers, they both had equal opportunity. They came to the committee, they gave us all their materials, they came and they made presentations. I have enough information. I was on the committee, so therefore I feel like I have enough information to make a decision today. Unless very, very clearly, unless you think that we can come up with $15 million to fund that other project, then there's no point in hearing their presentation. They have a great presentation and a great project, but it includes over $15 million of taxpayer dollars. So very clearly, if you think we can come up with that, then let's hear their presentation. If that's not realistic, which to me, that we don't have the money, it's not realistic, then it's a waste of their time and it's a waste of our time.
I think it is realistic. I've been through every page of our budget in the years that I've been here and found millions and millions of good stuff. Should we want to go home alone and do the $15 million parking garage, whatever it may take, then there's other options. We heard, oh, there's potential to lob off the floor. Well, okay, we know half the parking spaces.
Okay, if we can, the question is,
so we don't know.
On the floor, Mr. Clerk.
We need to be a part of that too.
No.
Councilor Burke?
No.
Councilor Palmer?
Aye.
Councilor Roberts?
Aye.
Councilor Cavanaugh?
Aye.
Fairborn?
Abstain.
So we vote Mr.
Madam Mayor, the council's obviously decided to do that. My counsel to my board would be to still make this a joint meeting. We talked about needing a unified approach, and it makes sense that there's going to be additional information provided, that MDC still be there, and if there's another vote required, you can take another vote. But I think it's important that we have a joint meeting as we move forward.
Is everyone available next Tuesday?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Same time?
Same time, and there is a time element with the 60-day
clause
that Mr. Lakey
had
mentioned, so
we
need to be
extra Madam Mayor, I have a question. So, I'm just trying to get clarification. So, if we're asking the other respondent to come and share theirs, and we're talking about we can lop off things, are we just entering into another phase of proposals? Like, I just want to make sure, like, we worked very, very hard to put together a proposal that was airtight and made this a very, very compelling value proposition. But if we're coming back now to something beyond the committee, are we now opening up? Do we need to?
I think that is a fair question,
yeah.
Mr. Mayor.
So,
I remember
the council and members of the board, I mean, I guess I'll repeat the same question you had a process, you advertised the process, they submitted the proposal. That is what you made the decision. It is not an opportunity to negotiate a different floor, a different plan, a different proposal. That is not acceptable in this process. So all you will receive is a proposal based on what was written, submitted, not a discussion of how would you make it different, how would you fund it. The committee asked those questions, and that's all they asked. And they asked that they read figures of profit to change it to be what the desire is. The answer is no. That's not acceptable based on what was put out in the public, what was properly submitted as a public. I don't know if Mr. Lakey has a difference of opinion or if you're talking about this change.
Madam Mayor, I agree with Mr. Nary's opinion. I think if we're talking about significant changes to their proposal or any proposal, it's kind of a new process, and you give the other side a chance to make significant changes to theirs. I think it's the proposals you have in front of us are what to be discussed. Minor deviations about who may put what where, or some changes in floor plan or outside design, that's a little different. But I think we've got to look at
that. So I guess that answers your question, Josh. Outside of anything that's already in the proposal, there's no need of.
If there are potential changes to make it something more desirable to council, then are we able to just say we're going to reject them all and start over? And
that's what you have to do.
The MDC and the city council can reject both proposals. I would be very cautious on rejecting it based on new information that wasn't part of the proposal, as an attempt to essentially start the process, coerce the board or the council into rejecting them all and starting the process over. That's not a fair process for the RFP. So, yes, but I would be very concerned about doing it for that purpose you just stated.
Madam Mayor,
so we have a budget.